Masechet Holin Perek Aleph Mishnah Vav. We'll now bring five more statements that follow a very similar pattern than we had in the previous two Mishnayot, where we'll talk about two things that are similar on one level, but when it comes to a certain halachic aspect about them, they don't overlap whatsoever. Mishnah says, Kasher bepara pasul ba'egla. What's valid for the para aduma is invalid for the igla arufa. Kasher ba'egla pasul ba'para. What's valid for the igla arufa is invalid for the para aduma. First of all, para aduma is the cow that's red, never has any work done to it, and from its ashes, a person who became impure from a dead body could become tahor, he could become purified, or an item, an object, could become purified. An igla arufa is if a person was murdered between two towns and it's unknown who killed him, then the great Sanhedrin measures to see which town is closest. The Ziknei Ha'ir, the elders of that town, they bring a calf and they kill it there by chopping it from the back of the neck. This is called arifa. And then they wash their hands and they say that they have no responsibility for the murder. Both of these are types of korbanot, but they both happen outside the Beit HaMikdash. They're slaughtered outside of the Beit HaMikdash, so therefore they're analogous. We compare them. So we say, the para aduma is slaughtered with regular shehita from the neck, but the egla arufa has to be slaughtered through arifa, by chopping from the back of the neck. Shehita, which is required for the para aduma, would disqualify the egla arufa. Arifa, which is required for the igla arufa, would disqualify the para aduma. Second case, we'll talk about Kohanim and Leviim serving in the Mishkan and the Bet HaMikdash. Kasher ba Kohanim, pasul ba Leviim, kasher ba Leviim, pasul ba Kohanim. What's fit for Kohanim is unfit for Leviim, and what's fit for Leviim is unfit for Kohanim. Leviim, who reached the age of 50, were not allowed to serve in the Mishkan anymore. The Mishkan was the portable Bet HaMikdash, until it was eventually built, and it was picked up and built over and over again throughout the journey in the Midbar, and the Leviim were the ones who would take it apart and put it back together. So anyone who reached the age of 50 was not allowed to serve in the Mishkan anymore because they were generally weaker by that time. And Leviim also, if their voices were weakened by age, were not allowed to serve in the Beit HaMikdash as well. Kohanim, though, were never disqualified for these two reasons. Age and weakness in voice would never disqualify the Kohanim from serving in the Beit HaMikdash. But Kohanim were disqualified from a different type of problem, which is physical blemishes. And in that case, Leviim were not. So what we see here is old age and a weak voice, which is acceptable for Kohanim, would disqualify a Levi. But a blemish, which is acceptable for a Levi, would disqualify Kohen. We should also point out that a Levi over the age of 50 is only not allowed to serve in the Mishkan. But in the Beit HaMikdash, it would be permissible for him to serve because it was never moved. Third type of contrasting that we're going to do with vessels that are made from earthenware, which become Tameh, and other types of vessels, which become Tameh. Tahor b'kli heres, Tameh b'kol hakelim. What's tahor in the case of an earthenware vessel is tameh in the case of other vessels. Tahor b'kol hakelim, tameh b'kli heres. So what's tahor in the case of other vessels is tameh in the case of an earthenware vessel. An earthenware vessel is tahor, it's pure. If a source of tum'ah only touches the outside, but a regular vessel that's non-earthenware becomes tameh no matter where it's touched. On the other hand, an earthenware vessel becomes tameh even if a source of tuma enters its airspace without touching it whatsoever, but a regular utensil would be pure in that case until it's actually touched. So what we see over here is being touched on the outside does not affect an earthenware vessel, but it makes a regular vessel tameh. Entering the airspace of the utensil makes an earthenware vessel tameh, but would not affect an ordinary vessel. Now we'll talk about wooden and metal utensils and their ability to become tameh. Tahor b'kli etz, tameh b'kli matachot. What's pure in the case of wooden utensils is tame in the case of metal utensils. Tahor b'kli matakot, tame b'kli etz. What's tahor in the case of metal utensils is tame in the case of wooden utensils. A wooden utensil cannot become tame unless it has a bet kibul, that it has the ability to hold things, like a spoon. A spoon has the ability to hold a little bit of liquid, but a metal utensil could become tame even if it's flat, like a knife. On the other hand, a unfinished metal utensil, one that could be used but not fully complete, cannot become tame, but an unfinished wooden utensil can become tame. So we see having an item to hold something, like a spoon, makes wooden utensils fit to become tame, but would not affect metal utensils whatsoever. Being complete or 100% finished would make a metal utensil fit to become tame, but would not affect a wooden utensil at all. The fifth and last case of our Mishnah, there are two types of almonds. One of them is a bitter almond, and a second one would be a sweet almond. In terms of tirumot or ma'asrot, you're not obligated to separate tirumot or ma'asrot from something unless it's edible. So we'll see how it applies over here. Ha'hayav b'shekedim ha'marim patur b'mitukim. Ha'hayav b'mitukim patur b'marim. What's obligated in tirumot or ma'asrot in the case of bitter almonds would be exempt in the case of sweet almonds. And what the obligations of tirumot or ma'asrot apply to the sweet almonds would exempt the case of the bitter ones. Bitter almonds are edible, and therefore the laws of tirumot u'ma'asrot would apply to them, but only in a situation where they're small. Sweet almonds are edible only when they're large. So as the almonds are small, and in that type of scenario, bitter almonds are edible, and therefore they would become obligated in tirumot u'ma'asrot. But for the sweet almonds, they're too small and they're not edible. Therefore, the sweet almonds are not obligated yet. But if they were large, which would make sweet almonds obligated in tirumot u'ma'asrot, because that's when they become edible, that would exempt bitter almonds from the tirumot u'ma'asrot.